Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Poet's Corner, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. This segment is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Podcast 46, Episode 11, Chapter 3C. The Lions.
In last week's episode, two persons who climbed over the wall rather than entering in at the wicket gate meet their end. Hypocrisy dies on the road of destruction, and presumption is lost in the wild woods on the road of danger. Only Christian, who entered in at the proper gate, climbs the hill of difficulty. Christian is chastised for sleeping too long midway to the top of the hill at the wayside arbor. He quickly resumes his journey, but meets Timorous and Mistrust, who warn him of two sleeping lions. Christian says to Timorous and Mistrust, who are fleeing back down the hill of difficulty,
"You make me afraid, but whither shall I fly to be safe? If I go back to my own country that is prepared for fire and brimstone, and I shall certainly perish there. If I get to the celestial city, I am sure to be in safety there. I must venture. To go back is nothing but death. To go forward is fear of death, and life everlasting beyond it. I will yet go forward."
Perhaps the above is one of the strong examples of why Pilgrim's Progress has been so successful among Christians of any denomination. He puts things in perspective. Certain death is far greater than the mere fear of death. He also emphasizes that nothing is worse than eternal damnation, and nothing is greater than life everlasting. He is abandoned by Mistrust and Timorous.
So Mistrust and Timorous ran down the hill, and Christian went on his way.
Bunyan teaches another Christian principle. Remember that the Shining Ones gave him a roll and commanded him to read it often. Rather than formalist, who became lost in the wild woods because he relied upon adherence to prescribed or external forms, Christian relied upon the Holy Bible. He sees the Bible as a means of interpreting every experience so that he might avoid the trap set by the devil to ensnare him. However, to understand what happens next, we must again reflect upon Christian's journey up to this point. Without understanding the necessity of the journey, what Christian does next would seem silly, what one might conclude a tempest in a teapot. Remember that Christian has learned to be sober and vigilant, for he sees the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Even now, two lions are lying in the path ahead, causing Timorous and Mistrust to abandon their journey, though they had almost reached the top of the hill difficulty. Every lesson matters to Christian. Along the way, Christian has met two very important characters, Evangelist and the Interpreter. They are really two sides of the same coin. Remember when Christian was led through many rooms and was required by the Interpreter to interpret each scene as a parable until he himself became like the Interpreter? That lesson comes in handy now, causing him excruciating repentance for merely sleeping too long in the arbor.
But thinking again of what he heard from the men, he felt in his bosom for his roll and found it not. Then was Christian in great distress and knew not what to do, for he wanted that which used to comfort him and that which should have been his pass into the celestial city.
In his carelessness, he lost the scroll. Bunyan teaches us one of the greatest principles of the gospel of Christ. Daily repentance, even for what appears to be little things.
Here, therefore, he began to be greatly troubled and knew not what to do. At last he besought himself that he had slept in the arbor, that is, on the side of the hill, and falling down upon his knees, he asked God's forgiveness for that his foolish act.
Next, Bunyan teaches us that with repentance comes restitution.
And then went back to look for his roll. But all the way he went back, who could sufficiently set forth the sorrow of Christian's heart? Sometimes he sighed, sometimes he wept, and oft times he blamed himself for being so foolish to fall asleep in that place which was erected only for a little refreshment from his weariness. Thus, therefore, he went back, carefully looking on this side and on that, all the way as he went, if happily he might find his roll that had been his comfort so many times in his journey.
Next, though it seems a small thing, Christian practices that which has brought him this far on his journey. He acknowledges his sin, taking personal accountability, and does not try to blame others.
He went thus till he came again within sight of the arbor, where he sat and slept. But that sight renewed his sorrow the more, by bringing again, even afresh, his evil of sleeping into his mind. Thus, therefore, he now went on, bewailing his sinful sleep, saying, O wretched man that I am, that I should sleep in the daytime, that I should sleep in the midst of difficulty, that I should indulge myself as to use that rest for ease to my flesh which the Lord of the hill hath builded only for the relief of the spirits of pilgrims. How many steps have I taken in vain? Thus it happened to Israel. For their sin they were sent back again by the way of the Red Sea. And I am made to tread those steps with sorrow, which I might have trod with delight, had it not been for this sinful sleep. How far I might have been on my way by this time! I am made to tread those steps thrice, over which I needed not to have trod but once. Yea, also, now I am like to be benighted, for the day is almost spent. Oh, that I had not slept!
And next he teaches the greatest lesson of all. Though he was diligent in looking, he gives God credit for finding the scroll. Though it appears serendipitous, he doesn't attribute it to luck or chance or personal endurance.
Now by this time he was come to the arbor again, where for a while he sat down and wept, but at last, as Providence would have it, looking sorrowfully down under the settle, there he espied his roll, that which he, with trembling and haste, caught up and put it into his bosom. But who can tell how joyful this man was when he had got his roll again? For this roll was the assurance of his life and acceptance at the desired heaven. Therefore he laid it up in his bosom, giving thanks to God for directing his eye to the place where it lay, and with joy and tears betook himself again to his journey.
Implied in this is another law that Bunyan teaches. It is this: sin stops our progression, and only through repentance can we again begin our journey in the right direction. Daily repentance is the key. There's only one path to the celestial city, and that is the straight and narrow path. All other paths, as with formless and hypocrisy, lead to danger and destruction. Endurance is another quality of Christian. Bunyan is aware that many, such as pliable and obstinate, timorous and mistrust, for various reasons, quit when the journey becomes difficult. Christian never quits.
But oh, how nimbly now did he go up the rest of the hill. Yet before he got up, the sun went down upon Christian, and this made him again recall the folly of his sleeping to his remembrance. Oh, thou sinful sleep, how for thy sake am I like to be benighted in my journey? I must walk without the sun. Darkness must cover the path of my feet, and I must hear the noise of the doleful creatures because of my sinful sleep.
It is not practical for our purposes to highlight every biblical allusion. It could become too pedantic. However, sometimes it is necessary, and sometimes it is simply fun. I put the above under the fun title. We turn to Isaiah 13.
And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her day shall not be prolonged.
I love the word doleful, and so do thesauruses. They offer synonyms such as unhappy, mournful, miserable, sad, woeful, dejected, and gloomy. This particular passage of Isaiah offers satyrs and dragons to make it even more haunting, reflecting our minds back to the Red Cross night.
Now also he remembered the story of mistrust and timorous told him, of how they were frightened by the sight of lions. Then said Christian to himself again, these beasts range in the night for their prey, and if they should meet with me in the dark, how should I avoid them? How should I escape being torn in pieces?
That is exactly what caused Timorous and Mistrust to abandon their journey. There is a difference. Timorous and Mistrust saw the sleeping lions in the daytime. Christian now must travel the same path in the night, where lions stalk and where shadows become bears and rocks become tigers. Still, unlike Timorous and Mistrust, Christian continues his journey. This is a journey of faith.
Thus he went his way, but while he was thus bewailing his unhappy mistake, he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there was a very stately palace before him, the name of which was Beautiful, and it stood just by the highway side.
Of course, though the name is Beautiful, we don't know what awaits in the stately palace. Is it good or is it evil?
So I saw in my dream that he made haste and went forward, that, if possible, he might get lodging there. Now, before he had gone far, he entered into a narrow passage, which was about a furlong off the porter's lodge. And looking very narrowly before him as he went, he espied two lions in the way.
Remember, it is still dark, and now Christian must face the lions, a double uncertainty.
Now, thought he, I see the dangers by which Mistrust and Timorous were driven back. The lions were chained, but he saw not the chains.
We are unsure why Timorous and Mistrust did not see the palace, but it is clear that they did not get close enough to the lions, even in the daytime, to see the chains. Christian couldn't see the chains because it was dark. No one would blame him for going back.
Then he was afraid, and thought also himself to go back after them, for he thought nothing but death was before him.
A strange thing happens. Timorous and Mistrust did not even get close enough to see the palace, apparently for their fear of the lions was so strong, they could only fix their eyes on the ground. They also didn't get close enough to hear the porter named Watchful.
But the porter at the lodge, whose name is Watchful, perceiving that Christian made a halt as if he would go back, cried out unto him, saying, is thy strength so small? Fear not the lions, for they are chained, and are placed there for the trial of faith, which it is, and for the finding out of those that have none. Keep in the midst of the path, and no hurt shall come unto thee.
What appeared to be Christian's greatest danger was merely a trial of his faith. And as Peter said, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The lions were chained, Only fear kept timorous and mistrust from being invited into the palace. To get so far on their journey and then turn back is a tragedy. Christian triumphed over his fear. Please join us next week as we enter the Grand Palace.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.